These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smit out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scazz, the rugby.
The Good, the Scazz and the Rugby, brought to you by our friends at Vodafone, is in session here in Edinburgh today. It's about 4 degrees Celsius in Scotland. It's grey and drizzly, and this is the most authentic experience of Scottish gas Murrayfield that you can have. That's the beautiful stadium behind me. We're on the pitch at the Hive, which is where you would have seen Brian Eason's girls face France and really give France a go over the last weekend. It was a bumper weekend of action. Ireland against Italy, Italy with that bonus point win there, despite Ireland's really, really big fight that they put up. England, absolutely dominant against Wales. But we are here to talk about Scotland. Shortly, Rona Lloyd, Ellis Martin and Emma Wassell, a second rower, front rower and a wing, joins us to talk us through what life is like in the Tartan camp right now. But to tell us more about them before we hang out with them, we're going to get a guided tour courtesy of head coach Brian Eason. Brian, it's
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks for coming.
No jacket?
No, Scottish.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to do it on the jacket front at all. Just another summer's day. Oh,
yeah. Beautiful, balmy summer's day. Welcome to April. Welcome to Edinburgh.
It's so quiet today in comparison with 4,000, what was it, 600 people you guys
had
here?
Yeah, in fact, a little bit more, 5,000.
Yeah,
5,600.
That's a full house.
Which was awesome. It was a little bit short of a full house, but we have sold out for England, so we're going in the right direction.
I mean, what difference does that make for you guys to be out here against a team like France? The expectation of the fans now turning up going, oh, they can take France.
Yeah, which is good. But that's brilliant. The fact that we've got near full house coming with expectation around performance is, for us, you know, it's a real positive. However, it adds a little bit more pressure.
Yeah.
Because there is expectation around that performance. So we'll take that. I'd rather have that expectation around performance than people not turning up.
And, I mean, this is a French team who went to New Zealand and saw off the Black Ferns on their home turf. So this is no slouch of a French side. Getting a 5-15 scoreline against them, how does that feel now?
Honestly,
yeah?
Frustrating.
Really?
Frustrating because I think we missed an opportunity. I think we missed a real good opportunity to beat a top three side. Were we good enough in the day? I think so at times. We thought we maybe lacked a little bit of accuracy. Maybe didn't take in as many chances as we could first half. The wind was a little bit stronger than it maybe showed on TV. Second half, we didn't quite get the territory that was required, but probably the most frustrating thing was the lack of bonus point at the end, the losing bonus point. Them scoring in the 81st minute was, I don't think we deserved that. I think we deserved a little bit more out of the game.
And now, how does that fuel you for the one that sits on the horizon?
Again, excitement again, opportunity for us just to keep showing where our performances are, and this is where this team is going. The team is wanting to keep showing how much we're improving. I think, you know, I've been asked many a time what success in the Six Nations is. Success for us is to keep pushing those performances to the next level. It's not about saying, right, we're going after this team or that team. It's about us just growing as a group, but that has to be every week. It's not about being happy with France and then dropping off performance. It's about improving performance all the time.
Of course, this is Edinburgh's training ground. They're busy in the background. How much time do you guys spend out here? How does the share of the facilities work?
Oh, it's been really good. It's been really positive in terms of them themselves kind of linking in. We train here and at Orium, so our national sports centre up in just outside of Edinburgh, which is awesome. We have a hotel up there that I've been... They've been really good. They look after us. The men team stay up there in their Six Nations, and then we just take over after that. the facility that we have up there is second to none, but then when we come here as well, because it's important that we train here, it's important that we are getting used to the wind or the surface. So yeah, we're back and forward between Orium and here, and the link between Edinburgh and ourselves has been, it's been really positive, and I think the way Scottish rugby is with us has been a real step forward.
Because the conditions is almost like the 24th player sometimes when you play in Scotland. I mean, as today shows.
Because it's never really dry here that often.
No.
As you would know as a golfer.
I mean, how do you know my hair is straight? It's not curly today.
Mine too.
I love that. He's a comedian. The overarching thing that we've been talking about in watching your girls over the last few weeks is that, well, they seem that they genuinely like being together. Someone said in some other podcast that I listened to, oh, people are going to get so sick of us talking about how much we love one another. What is it that you do that fosters that amount of we just like being in each other's company?
When they say that, it's genuine. Like, they genuinely love being around each other. And so, like, we work a lot around togetherness. Togetherness is so important with this group. If you want to be successful, you would do it on your own if it's going to be short term.
Yeah.
But longer term, if you do it together, you can go after big things. And we've worked really hard around, I suppose, empowerment. We were very much, I suppose, in the initial, the inception of this group was very much coach-led. It was kind of management-led, just to get to know everybody. But then as the more I got to know this group, that was just not, there was no success within that. They had to be empowered, and Rachel's leadership and the leadership group are just outstanding. So let them get on with it.
So give me an example of what is it that you empowered them to do themselves then?
Our culture is really important to us. So in terms of how we behave, and because culture is all about behaviours, isn't it? Mm. So we've made it really clear that the changing room is theirs, the team room is theirs, and they can grow and they can decide on the behaviours that they want to have. And from a management point of view, we say, look, however you are in there, we'll see it on the training pitch. So if we're progressing and we're improving performances, we're happy for you guys just to keep doing what you're doing. So it's around, they drive that culture, they drive that environment, and we allow them to get on with it. And it's so important that that happens. But it's not just, the players will drive the management as well, and the management will drive the players. So it's everybody's in it together. So culture's not a coach. It's not Rachel, it's not the top try scorer, it's actually everybody. Whether you've got one cap, no caps, everybody drives that environment.
I love Emma Wassell there. Yeah. She is towering above Sione.
Yeah, yeah. But she probably told you that.
Well,
she showed you that.
She's not a quiet girl.
We're going to catch up
with her and Rona later.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, good luck with that. There are... Yeah, quiet wouldn't be a word I would use. Yeah, good luck. I look forward to watching it.
Let's get inside where it's warmer. You are sponsored by Scottish Gas, after all.
Yes.
So now when you guys play over there, even for the Celtic Challenge, this is the route the girls would follow in, right?
The girls would actually, so we would come in so for our national games, which is really special for us. So the bus would stop just out there.
Yeah.
We'll get... as you saw on Saturday, there was crowds would welcome us in.
Yeah.
We'd walk through here
into
the changing rooms, and then when you go to the game, you would come out the middle door, and then we'd walk up straight up the tunnel.
Straight up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the kind of the main entrance into the changing rooms, and it's a special feeling for us. I think that's the really important thing about us coming back to Hive and to be at Murrayfield is that the. For me, one of the most important things for everybody is to feel the same as the men's team. And, you know, they walk in here, they're in the national team changing room. They've got names on the board, just like the men. And as you can see, it just shows how important it is to that every player who's played for Scotland is represented in the same way as the Scotland Roll of Honour as well.
And the Thistles, those are 50 caps.
Yeah.
Chloe Rolly, Lisa Thompson, Helen Nelson. Of course, there's going to be a new one
added. Louise McMillan.
Yeah, she's getting
hers. She had her 50th, so hers will pop on probably today or tomorrow. So it's just, you know, it's really exciting to see that these girls are that have been shown and exactly what they've done over the past. And, you know, there's some really, really good names on there, obviously. The gold one is the 100.
Donna
Kennedy is the most capped player, as you'll see when you go in.
There's
the wall in there that shows the capped players as well. So, yeah, it's really important for us. And this when this came up just last year, there was some real excitement, and understandably so.
The reaction from the girls?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of noise, but that's quite enough. You know, get used to that reaction.
Ellen Beattie, 125, team manager. And then we've got Claire Cruikshank, number 72, 2001. We've been working with Claire on our Empower Her project in partnership with Vodafone. And it's just been so good to see the Edinburgh Uni girls and the development there. Of course, you guys had one of our mentees on the bench over the weekend.
Yeah.
What has the structure that the Celtic Challenge has now given you as a coach, how much of a difference does that make?
Huge difference. I think it just, we're very lucky in the fact that we now have 32 contracted players. A lot of them play in England, which has been really positive because it's the best league in the world for women's rugby. I genuinely believe that, and it's some really, really positive rugby that's going on there. However, we have also got the opportunity for girls who are at university in Scotland or who have got life in Scotland who don't need to travel anymore. It used to be they had to go down there to play rugby, but Celtic Challenge now would allow a player to stay in Scotland. The level of rugby has been really positive. I think when you watch the Glasgow-Edinburgh game, which was the link to the 1874 Cup as well, and you know, it was brilliant. It was great to see. And just to see girls like Kieran Bell, we had Nicole Flynn, who was 18 years old, sitting on the bench at the weekend. That's because of that rugby that they're playing. Club rugby's been excellent, Edinburgh Uni's been excellent, but just that next step up has been really positive for us.
Yeah, bridging that gap to the elite game. Okay, coats off, because it's hot in here. Let's go into the change room. And now we've stepped onto hallowed turf, even though this is linoleum. because not a lot of people get to come in here, right?
No, it's a bit of a sacred place. And you know what is really nice for us is you can see it's when we come in, it's got their names up on their seats. Just to come in and see their names with, you know, you just look at number 15 there, Merrill Smith, for example, with, you know, you've got some of the best names, you know, Gavin Hastings, Chris Patterson. And then the next thing will be to see women's names on those plaques as well. As you keep saying, there's the thistle that is on the roof, we're everywhere.
It's a lot.
It's really a lot, but
you're not going to be in any doubt when you step in here.
No, we know who we're playing for. And to be honest, though, like, without this stuff, this group know exactly who they're playing for. They're just so together, and they just represent Scotland. And you know, the thistle, the flag, the claymore, we've got everything there anyway.
There is a very large weapon on the wall. So if you're listening to this, it's a tartan background with, I would say the sword is my size. I mean, if we were standing next to one another, we would be challenging. What is it and what is it called and why is it in here? And does anyone ever take it off the wall and use it?
I would hope they wouldn't use it. It's called a claymore. And this was, I suppose this was back in the day when we used to have some rather large battles between, and I suppose going into Scotland, England over the next little while, this would possibly be one that would be used. It's a traditional Scottish sword that we call a claymore, and you know, because of the history and the amount of history that shows about what Scotland's all around, that it's so important that this is represented in the changing room. And you know, we are a very, very proud nation, and you know, we talk about going into battles and so on and so forth, and I think this would represent it more than anything.
Sarah Bonner is very intense.
Wow, yeah.
And loves talking about battle. Is she at risk of ever, has anyone actually ever lifted this thing off the magnets that it's so precariously perched on?
So Sarah would, yeah, she would be the one you would be concerned about.
Yeah, I would genuinely be worried
like
about
she's
her.
She's one of the nicest people, genuinely.
Yes.
What a nice person. However, when it comes close to game day, wow, she can be something else. We laughed, and I think it was on your podcast before we talked about, because I like the theme. I like to have themes. And I think it was when they played Loughborough up at Largs, We laughed about that. Because I was just like, I thought we'd just kind of build into this World Cup. And I think it was Scars was walking along and Bonds was kind of and they're going, it's a friendly game for God's sake. And yeah, that's Bonds.
There's no half measures.
No half measures at all. So anytime I do a theme, and I theme every year, I'll always run it past her and she's like, well, yes.
What's the theme for 24?
No fear.
No fear.
No fear. And it's based around surfing.
Surfing?
Yeah. So we kind of looked at the group. So obviously you've got that No Fear company that was around the surf. But we just felt that there was five different waves over the Six Nations, and obviously England and France being the, whether it was Nazaré in Portugal or Maui or Jaws in Maui, they're the big waves. But so what, basically the analogy was, if you know, like surfers know the ocean, they know the winds, they know the topography of the ocean, no matter how big or small the wave is, if you know your detail, there's a good chance that we can navigate that. And so that's the theme this year.
I love that. You've now been with the women for 4 years. Before that, you were at the SRU for 20 years. So you've been around these corridors and you've coached age group.
Yeah.
Under 20s, under 18s.
Oh, under 16, under 17, under 18, under 20. I was involved with Edinburgh Men, pretty much everything.
But you came to coaching young, right?
Yeah. I was here for a couple of years and then played for Exeter Chiefs. But then I had two back surgeries. So that finished me. I was age 24. I finished at 24. So I had back surgery and testicular cancer all within 3 months. I mean, it was a great 3 months, that, you can imagine.
Oh my goodness.
It was just one of those lucky things that I got a kick and got an ultrasound and there was a lump, and then that was all kind of dealt with as well. So.
And that's unusual when you're so young.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something that you're even considering. I mean, you're trying not to get an ACL,
yeah,
and then someone goes cancer.
Yeah. So that was a bit of a shocking. It was a bit of a tough time, and I suppose that was. But then I look back and I go, would I be where I am now if I didn't start coaching when I did? And so it was a bit of a whirlwind to go from playing in Exeter to get my first job as a development officer up in Inverness. So it was like going from one end of the country to the next.
Is that experience that you had as a player and the disappointments that you faced something that feeds into how you work with the girls now? Or do they even know about this whole
I don't know. Probably. It's not about me. I think it's about them. It's their journey now. It's not. I've had my time. It's about them, and my job's easy because of Rachel. I'll be honest with you, she's pretty good.
She's formidable.
She's pretty good.
I'd like the Rachel Malcolm seat. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for the guided tour. I really appreciate it. We're going to get some couches in here now because the girls are on their way in, I hear.
But you'll need to sit down. Yeah.
Buckle up.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the acoustics will be like in here with the noise.
He speaks from experience.
Yeah. That's one thing I've got used to is noise.
Are the girls just generally noisier?
Yeah.
Just big on communication? Yeah. Lots of it.
Yeah. So it's funny, genuinely, I think when you've been so, like, I've been in so many different teams, as you've said, 16s, 18s, 20s, and the men and stuff like that, and you seem to think that, you know, when they go on a bus or you think that silence or quietness or is what high performance behaviours are. And then when you come in here, you think, oh, that's different, it's noisy, it's...
Yeah.
But that's their high performance behaviour. So just because it's different doesn't mean it's not high performance behaviour. So, yeah, you get used to noise. Oh my God, you get used to noise.
We have moved some furniture into the change room and some great lighting, because I do like myself some great lighting. And we have a plinth and the WXV trophy here with us. We're an esteemed company. Rona Lloyd, GB7's superstar, but also a winger for Scotland. Ellis Martin, who was on our DMP Live show last year. If you were there, you'll remember it. Ellis Martin, who got her run on debut this weekend. And then second row, Emma Wassell, who we have to say is also a teammate of our Scars. And we are here for all of the goss. Thank you for joining us, girls.
Thank you for having us. I love that your names, I mean, Emma's name is right here behind me, are all over these walls. Does that give you a bit of a kick when you come in here still?
Yeah, it is super cool. I think we've all been in here when it's set up for the men's Six Nations. So if we've been here and like at training or whatever, and even seeing that, it is really impressive. So when you come in here and you see your name up, it does feel pretty special.
Even now, these names stay up until the men get back in here again. So they're up for all the tours until the summer test. So it's amazing.
Ah, so if you are coming for a Scottish Gas Murrayfield guided tour, you get the bagpipe music, the
full
walk
experience
of the tunnel, you get to go out on the big boy pitch, and you get to come in here and take a picture with Rona Lloyd or Ellis Martin or Emma Russell's name on the wall. We just had a tour group come in here between our chat with Brian and our chat with you. They did not see the WXV2 trophy, which I feel is the thing that they missed the most. I mean, honestly, they should have been paying attention. Is it nice to have just a little silverware here to show off when your visitors come in?
It's pretty cool, isn't it? Like, it looks pretty impressive. It's also huge, like, for scale. She's really big.
Ellis Martin has just held up her hand next to the trophy to show off how big it is.
I have big hands for my height, so, like, it is big. No, it's, like, really, really cool. And I think it was the first trophy in 2001? That Scotland women have won. So, like, to be part of that has been pretty crazy. Seeing people with their photos of it up on Instagram and stuff has been pretty unreal.
The other important elephant in the room is gigantic human-sized sword hanging over my shoulder. We asked Brian about this sword earlier. We posted a picture of ourselves in this room, and Sarah Bonner replied to producer Shira and said, "Not going to lie, the sword excites my inner Viking."
Very Sarah Bonner, that is.
Has anyone ever touched that thing when no one was looking?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No names mentioned.
I sit under it for meetings.
It's a very big thing.
It's scary.
Yeah, and it does look actually sharp. So I would recommend staying a little bit further away from it, just because, you know, we'd like to keep you around for a while, just a little bit. Big weekend that we've just had here. How are the bodies feeling? Was the battle bigger than the post-match battle in the streets here in Edinburgh?
So, you catch me off guard. We're talking about the rugby here.
Have you never listened to this podcast? We never talk about the rugby.
Well, I can talk about on the pitch if Rona wants to elaborate off the pitch.
I played in France before. I know that the troisième mi-temps, the third half, is very important to them. And like, I'm from Edinburgh. I felt obliged to show them a good time. But no, it was a huge battle on the pitch. Like, bodies are definitely very sore from that. And it was so nice to be able to enjoy each other's company after the game. Like, that opportunity to kind of have a drink with your opponent is pretty rare. So yeah, like, gutted about the result, but we definitely forgot about that after when we were enjoying a drink with them in town.
Very media answer.
That is the media answer. Ellis Martin, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that you are the younger person, the more junior person in the squad here.
I went home at 11, so I'm not sure, but I have heard that it was really fun and that they might have been wearing kilts from Scottish shops from Princess Street. So yeah, I think it was a good time. Everyone had a really good time. Everyone was talking about it.
The French were wearing the kilts.
They were wearing many kilts, yeah, weren't they?
Yeah, we went to meet them uptown. There was loads of them had these like tiny kilts on, basically, that they'd bought at the tourist shop across the road. And that was before we'd arrived. So they very much did that off their own bat.
Quite naturally, when you come to Scotland, you want to like fully immerse yourself in Scottish culture.
In having your legs out when it's minus two.
No, but that's it's Scottish culture. It's a tartan, it's fine. Actually, Scottish culture, on that, we have a gift for you from Scotland. Emily Scarrett is going to be very jealous of this.
She is. I'll hold the talking stick.
Gifts for you. So we've got some stash on top.
Did you see what I wore when they played Italy?
No.
Blue shirt.
That's quite...
And Scazzy sent Nikith over to me to tell me that she had noted the colour of my shirt. So I'm ready to wear the thistle this weekend.
Glad to hear it. So well, yeah, this is our kind of our leisure kit that we wear just now. But the box underneath, so when we were at the World Cup, we gave every opposition team this box, and essentially we just call it our Scottish box.
Guys, stop it. There are so many nice things. Do you know how much I love a shortbread? Shortbread, a little famous grouse, a little iron brew. Are these things, what are they called?
Tonic. Tea cake.
Tea cakes, yes. And then little wafer biscuits. And what does this say?
Scottish sayings.
Come
on, say it.
Gonay no do that.
Gonay no do that.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, my Scottish will improve.
It's a wee Scottish scarf as well.
And I do love me a scarf, guys. Look at how pretty this is.
You're ready for the match.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
Oh my goodness.
No, 2 weekends.
And what do you do with this thing?
So that's a Scottish quake. So you would put whiskey in it and drink with I'm not selling this very well, but it's to drink with friends, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can pass quake around, everybody can have a taste of whiskey.
Oh, love that. I do love me a whiskey. I dragged our production manager into the whiskey shops on the Royal Mile yesterday because when in Rome, you know. Thank you very much for my Scottish box.
Our pleasure.
I love this. What a great gift. Guys, I feel so welcome here. Do you know, when we were posting about walking around the Royal Mile yesterday, Skazzy actually replied to my story and in caps went, "I'm so jealous." She was so keen on the fact that we were coming to look around here.
She is our kind of adopted Scot at Loughborough.
You, of course, for those who have been paying attention, after the Christmas holidays when we came back on, we had to reflect on Skaz in the Buddy the Elf outfit. This is the other elf, Emma Wassell.
Well, how good did we look?
What? What is it that you had to say or do to convince our Skaz to get into the Buddy the Elf outfit?
The weirdest thing is it was not difficult. I actually think it was her idea. I think I went to the effort to find the costume and stuff. Oh. But I feel like Skaz, if she's going to do dress up, she's going to do it properly. Yeah. Like, she's not going to go half-hearted, which I have a lot of time for. I think, so as soon as we were going to be elves, we were going to be elves. And naturally, being probably two of the tallest people in that team, Buddy the Elf seemed the obvious fit.
The irony is great. Also, the amount of secrecy, because the picture was shared with Mo and then she was sworn to not post that. But then it ended up on the socials anyway.
Like, you can't hide that. It's too good. She embraced it.
It was brilliant. She has told me that you do like to moonlight as her stylist / fashion advisor.
For everyone.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
In Emma Wassell's company.
The events and stuff she goes to, I'm like, she dresses great, don't get me wrong. But she'll sometimes just, it's quite plain, quite simple, which we love as well.
Yeah.
But there's her figure, she's just great. And I just sometimes think you could really be out of this world. And
I'm constantly like, girl, you could rock a red lip.
No, there's so much. And she's just like, no, I couldn't. I'm like, seriously, you could. Without like elfing in the room, but like her derriere, like it is... It's giving.
It's serving.
And I just feel like we need to emphasize that sometimes.
She did use the words leather and trousers.
Oh, the leather trousers.
Tell us about...
So I think she got them from... Oh, I can't remember the name. I don't even want to say it because I think she might be... But anyway, she got them for doing... When she was doing commentary stuff for TNT. And she was like, I got these like leather flare trousers. And I was like, they're really in fashion right now.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, they actually fit really well.
Ooh.
And I was like, you need to come around, like, show... Anyway, she put them on and I was like, oh, they were perfect. They were so perfect. She was so uncomfortable, probably because I was screaming. Every time she does something, wears something, even when she, like, got put on the team sheet, when she was returned to play, she was just like, please don't scream. Please don't scream. Please don't scream. And I'm like, ah! But she looked phenomenal.
I love the level of drama. Honestly, she's just bringing all of that. Is it always on? Is Emma Wassell always this?
Yes,
absolutely. But like, this is a friend that you need. Like, if you don't know, like, you don't know if you feel brave enough to wear that outfit, you call Emma, and you know that she'll make you feel good. So it's absolutely like the support queen that we all need in our lives.
Rona Lloyd phoned me from France once with a haircut,
a terrible haircut.
God,
what did you do?
I went to hairdressers in France for the first time. Like, was feeling pretty confident with my French at that point.
Turns
hairdressers
out.
Was out my depth. All I understood was, I think this will be pretty. So I was like, let's go for it. It wasn't good. And then, do you know when you're at the hairdressers, like, so much hair is coming out your head. You can't, like, once it's happening, you can't stop it. So did call Emma in tears, and she made me feel better. And I, like, when I look back at photos now, that was a terrible.
It wasn't. It was just, it was a bit choppier. we couldn't just let it dry itself. Is all I'm saying.
It had to be actively styled.
Yeah, we needed some advice, and yeah.
Yeah, and now you're a low pole girl as well, so...
A low pole?
So she used to always be like high bun, whereas now she's kind of got into this like low bun era, and we love it.
Are you blushing? Roll away.
Thank you, Matt.
This looks great, doesn't she?
Great fashion advice. Is she also trying to get everyone on Instagram posting more often? Because
yes.
that's the other thing that I have heard about you being...
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't even think I'm great at it. I listened to the pod with Ilona Mar on it, and that was great. She just, like, wow.
Unapologetic.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm not near on that level at all. And Rona is actually great at posting and also being very much authentically herself, which we love.
I think it's amazing that rugby can showcase,
yeah,
like, you know, such a different array of body types, like women who are at the top of their game. And so I think for that, social media is amazing.
You played in Bordeaux. Did the Fiat 500 make it to France?
No, it didn't. The Fiat 500 has been new in my life. Fourth-hand car, but new in my life.
Yes.
No, it's only been in Edinburgh. I'm hoping to get back to France next season, so I am thinking about it. But I don't know. Emma Wasso, she's been a passenger a couple of times. She might have a more of an opinion on if that car should leave Scotland.
I would like to point out that Emma just pulled a face that looks like she was seeing things.
No, it's the way she speaks about this car. And don't get me wrong, like...
Frankie.
Just every time, she's like, oh, the Fiat, there she is. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, me and Sarah Bonner were trying to get in this car. And it is like climbing into a toy car. And I was just like cramped, like knees up to my chest. Bonner's is in the back, head's like this. I'm like, this is not a safe vehicle.
Also, we drove 5 hours to Jenny Maxwell's wedding in that car, and Emma was in the back.
I was in the back. I honestly have a bulged disc in my back, and I'm lying flat in the seat in the back. And I was like, I hate this place.
You keep coming back for more.
No, I am like, can you give me a lift in Frankie?
Thank you. Lifts, please. Yes. So did we get a scoopy scoop there? Rona Lloyd heading back to France for some more. When is this? After the Olympics?
Yeah, after the Olympics. Like, whether it be in a World Cup year, we'd like to be focusing on 15s again. And everybody that knows me knows I absolutely love playing in France. So we'd like to do another season out there. Like, think the like style of rugby that they play is like, it's just so fun to be part of. Like the French flair, the jouer, it's very much real.
And you parlay the vu fluently now?
Más o menos.
You're pretty good.
No, she's so good.
Yeah,
like, and when you listen to like her dulcet Scottish tones, you're like, surely you can't speak French. And then I've been in some situations where, like, it was on that Zoom call I heard you speak, and I was like, girl! Like, like, really good. I mean, obviously we're not French, so anything, she could be saying anything and we'd think it's impressive, but... Really, really impressive.
That's so impressive anyway, yeah.
So well.
Because when you announced that you were joining Bordeaux, your post went, je suis absolutely buzzing. So we're not doing that anymore, right?
Yeah, it was like when I got there, I could not speak a word of French. And actually, so my team in Bordeaux was called Le Lion, so the Lions. And they wouldn't call me a lion until I'd played for the team. And I went over, I just done my MCL. So for the first 8 weeks, they called me a stray cat. I was a chat sauvage, a stray cat. And so the first thing I knew how to say in French was, my name's Rona Lloyd and I'm a stray cat. Before I knew the word for scrum, like for anything. Like the order that I learned the language was a little bit interesting. But now we're here. And to be fair, as a winger, like, I talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely challenged when I was, could only say that I was a stray cat. But yeah, it was amazing.
So, do we talk about France now? 5:15? Is that... Oh, she's... Okay. Sorry, Emma. I shouldn't have gone there. No. It was a little hard. Straight into that. You did say on Instagram, frustrated but immensely proud. Also, I took a look in the showers next door. There is a Scottish flag against the wall, even in the showers. You guys... And you put it in your Instagram caption as well.
Yeah, I think...
Proud?
Super proud. I think proud of the fight. Like, the girls really did not give up, and I j- genuinely believe that full 80, we believe that we could win that game. And sometimes, and I think some of the situations we've been in the past, it, as long as we are the only people that believe it, that's all that matters. Sometimes, there can be a preconception that we know what the score might be or what it might look like. And compared to last year, it was 55-0, but we genuinely went into that game with every belief that, that we could win it. And obviously, going in at halftime ahead, it's not common Scottish thing, really. So it's actually how you kind of stay there. It was a windy day as well, so obviously managing that was difficult. But yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think losing, letting them concede that last try was probably the toughest one to take. I think gaining a bonus point from that game would have been huge for us. I do think it actually could have been anyone's game. I do think we could have won that, but the French flair was hard to contain sometimes.
That's huge, coming back from 55-0 last year to saying we could have done that. And a record crowd, 5,600 people here. And it wasn't as, what is the word, dreich, as it is today. And the only thing I can do well is the ch. But there were massive positives to take from that. And you have to, in preparation for a team like England, I guess, really focus on where you now find the belief, where you now find the positives, where are the things that you build on. Because you know these girls, you play with them.
We do. I think, yeah, we know the challenge that England are going to be. And everyone obviously says it, like, you want to play the best in the world, and they are the best in the world. Like, and you've obviously seen how they've played in their first two games as well. The depth they have in players is actually a little bit insane. Yeah. Scary. Yeah. But it's actually very exciting to play against them, because yeah, we want to see where we're at. We put in a good shift against France, but I do think England is a little bit of a different story. But yeah, I think there's so much positives we can take, and yeah, still a whole lot of belief, but it will be a huge challenge.
And this is a campaign that now has an interesting kind of momentum because of that first game being against Wales and the first game being a win. Ilis, for you, having a run on debut off the back of that Welsh performance, that must have just been so important coming into that game, knowing that you're playing alongside a team that have just done that.
Yeah, 100%. I think, to be fair, I don't think you'll ever find a Scottish person who's short on belief. I think we kind of believe the impossible sometimes, to be fair, kind of our culture. But regardless for me, whether I'm at 16, at 2, at 25th man, not involved, like, we all have the same mentality, if that makes sense. I think, like, that was the question before, was, like, how do you feel? Is this different? And yes, it's different. It's a little bit more pressure, and it's, like, an honour to pull on that shirt. But at the same time, like, I take the team's successes as my own success, regardless of where I am. Like, if I'm not playing, that's still my success. That's still my team and my country, and, like, it was cool to win away in Wales. It was really cool, actually. We were all a bit like, oh my God, okay, this is exciting. But
And you have your names on your shirts.
That's cool, isn't it? I took a lot of photos of that shirt. My mum took a lot of photos of that shirt as well. She's like, it's so cool. And also in the tunnel afterwards, like, we have at Murrayfield, obviously, when we come out of the Hive, there's the tunnel where all the sort of fans will stand either side, and you could hear them shouting, like, Wassel, Wassel, or like, Lloyd, Martin. And that's so cool, because before, they wouldn't necessarily always know your name, you know, especially number four. Whereas now, like, they know your name, they can look you up on Instagram, they can take that photo with you and then say to their parent, like, oh, that was Martin, that was Ellis Martin, that was the number two. And like, them being able to link those two things together is just so cool, and like, allows them to have someone to look up to and someone to sort of use as a role model. So the names are like incredible. It's so much more than just what they mean to us. It's like what it means for everything else as well.
Rugby getting out of its own way, isn't it, Rona?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's, I think it's such a massive step forward for the men's and women's game. And like, one thing we spoke about with Alex Stewart getting her first cap against Wales is that, like, she's the first Scotland player that will never ever play without her name on the back of her shirt. When you think about that, like, it's like, I get really emotional thinking about kind of where the squad was when, like, me and Waz first joined, even when, like, LSU been in a couple of years, like, just the changes have been absolutely massive. It's so exciting.
Last year, when we saw you, Ellis, at DMP, at that little pre-show we did, you told us it's going to take a while for you to get used to saying we.
Yeah. Yeah, that was difficult. Like, I think the Scotland squad for me was always the Scotland squad, the team that play for Scotland. I was never yet part of it. And I think it took a long time for me to then feel like I added value and that, like, I was actually someone who could play a part in that. Whereas now, I think 2 years on, it's crazy the difference in the way I see the squad now. I feel like completely as if, like, yeah, I can't imagine my life not being part of it, even if I wasn't able to play or anything like that. Like, the amount of support from the girls, the way they pick you all up, like, we're just such a family. And it's, yeah, it's cool that now I feel confident saying we in comparison to when you first met me, where I was maybe a bit more nervous and didn't feel like I was part of it yet.
Is that something, as the more senior girls in the squad, you really take pride in, that feeling of belonging?
Yeah, I think, like unfortunately, probably a lot of some of the harder things that we've maybe gone through is probably what has made us just quite as tight as we are. But it's just so special to have that when we're going through all the good things as well. Going into Scotland camp is like Christmas. Like, you're like, yes, we've got Scotland camp. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're so excited. And like, the thought, and I know it sounds so silly, but the thought of like post Six Nations, like the Blues.
It's
like you just get so tight. And I think that's probably the same as lots of squads, just because you've been together so much. But yeah, you share some just incredible moments together. And I think it does also help that you're just disgustingly proud to be Scottish. So in anywhere we go and how we can like bring Scottish culture is just, yeah, a huge part of it.
I should tell you about Cammy Barnes coming into camp. That is a proud to be Scotland moment that was, yeah, a bit ridiculous.
Talk to me about that, because I saw it on social media. Yeah. And Rachel is quite a big fan of this musician, right?
Yeah, so I think the social team, well, it started off that we were all downstairs. We had like a Burns night, a belated Burns night, and Rona addressed the haggis. It got bagpipes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can start with the address and the haggis and go back to the camera.
Yes, you could probably do the poem.
Yeah, do you want to address it right now?
I watched the video that you posted. Were you speaking English?
Yes, speaking, yeah, Scottish dialect. But yeah. Burns night, basically, 25th of January is when you usually do it, but we're never together for the 25th of January. So we said we do belated one as a team, which was really nice. So we had, yeah, the haggis piped in. I did Address to a Haggis, which is a poem that you do before you eat the haggis. This all sounds, I'm very aware of that. How ridiculous this sounds if you're not in the room.
Because you know from where I'm sitting, I'm going, you do what? No,
I know. We also
Why are you talking the haggis?
Yeah. I like the bagpipes. I mean, that was really nice. They are very loud when you play them indoors. So I see the bagpipe man coming towards the camera. I'm like, ooh, this is a vibe. And the next thing, you start speaking to a plate on a table.
Yeah, it's funny actually. So our nutritionist is English. And when they said that we're eating haggis, I was like, oh, Lara, can I do Address to the Haggis? And she's like, oh, yeah. And she was being a bit funny with me, but I was like, oh, whatever. Then the next day she comes up to me and she was like, Rona, it's a poem. And I was like, yeah, what did you think? She said, I thought we were dressing the haggis up in a little kilt.
No, genuinely. And then she bought a little kilt and brought it to the burnt supper.
I feel like the thread here is that people are constantly looking for excuses to buy kilts, whether they are French or English.
Or if it's for a haggis.
Like, I know what it needs. It needs some tartan. Let's wrap it up. Everyone. Okay, so you spoke to the haggis on the plate.
I speak to the haggis. I make the haggis feel special.
Yes.
Then we eat the haggis. And then you do a toast to the laddies. So that's when somebody from one of the girls in the room, so for us it was Corinne Grant, they write like a toast to like the men in the room. So it was basically just
laddies as men.
The laddies.
Yeah.
So it was basically just a good excuse for us to rinse our coaches a little bit, which was fun.
Okay, that's fine.
Then Fraser, our S&C, he does a toast to the lassies.
Yes.
So that's his excuse to
rinse you guys.
Rinse the girls in the room a little bit. Martin, our forwards coach, did a Red Red Rose, which is another poem. Fee McIntosh's dad did Tam O'Shanter.
Are all of these poems in this book that you just gave me with a strange name?
No. I can send you a separate document.
There is also a PDF addendum to all of this. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'm on my Scottish training wheels here.
Yes. Then Rachel Malcolm goes like, she deserves an Oscar for this.
It was a joke.
So she comes into the room and she's like absolutely deadpan. She's like, girls, we have to have a meeting upstairs. Like, I'll tell you what it's about, but just get upstairs right away.
for reference, we've had this Rachel Malcolm response a few times. One of them, it was a lot, to be fair, was around COVID, around cancelled games, things that would not be happening, which ultimately impacted kind of our World Cup qualification. Yeah, like games getting cancelled.
So there's PTSD.
And everyone's like, oh God.
So Rachel Malcolm enters the fray, deadpan, says we need to have a meeting. Everyone goes, fun's over.
Yeah, literally.
Because it sounds like a wedding up to this point. Loads of speeches, lots of toasting. I mean,
this is a Thursday night in Scotland.
I mean, there's a whole vibe and a procedure here happening, and she goes, sorry, game over.
Yeah, game over, get upstairs. And so I knew what was happening. I'd been let in on it. And I was, Rachel did such a good job that I thought it'd been cancelled. I thought it was serious. And I was like, God, it's not good. So anyway, we all get upstairs. We get in the room. And then, we're all sitting in, a semicircle. Cammy Barnes is, the Scottish singer that we all love. We listen to his songs on the bus and in the changing rooms and stuff. Anyway, he comes in with his guitar.
He was a bit like, whoa. Yeah. We're all, sitting there, looking at him, just like, why are you here? Whaps the guitar out and then starts singing Caledonia and we're all crying our eyes out.
Yeah.
No, and then he was concerned. He said it was the toughest gig I've ever done. Why are you guys all
crying? He was like, why are you all crying so much?
Why are you
just
crying?
It was just so much.
Like a pure,
like floods.
Like real tears. And you're just like, but everyone at the same time, you're like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like that Kim Kardashian.
Oh, bad. Yeah. Everyone was hysterically crying. And I remember turning to Anne Young and I was hysterically crying and she was hysterically crying and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, I just really love Scotland. And Rachel Malcolm's crying in the back. You were in front of me, tears streaming onto your shirt. You're like, just love Scotland so much. It's amazing.
It was very special.
But yeah, it was a wee bit crazy. And then he came out, obviously, after the France game.
We take them in.
Yeah. With the French girls.
He didn't make it that far.
No, we're obviously going to put that offer out there. But as soon as you've kind of stepped into camp, you're one of us now. You're one of us. Yeah. And he was out with us and it was a great laugh.
Oh, wow. If you end up at WXV2 in Cape Town, he needs to go out there with you, I would just like to say.
The plan is to be in Canada.
Sorry. They're not doing Cape Town again, girls.
Who'd go to Canada? Completed it.
Oh, he could always go to Canada. I mean, the door's open. If he wanted to tour a North American tour, maybe that might intersect with the dates at which you might be at WXV1. I love that ambition because as soon as I said Cape Town, your eyes flashed. You were like,
Oh, it's hard. Cape Town was WXV2, that tournament, genuinely one of the best tours I've ever been in Scotland. I've played for Scotland 10 years now. Honestly, one of the most incredible memories we have. And I just think if you can do that, I think we'd be silly to not be reaching for WXV1 now. And I also don't want to go back to Cape Town because I just have the most perfect memories. And I just never want it to change.
That needs to stay pristine in a box, untouched. That was the best. I totally agree.
I'm fascinated. Rona, you've been there before. So on the seventh circuit, you get to stop off in Cape Town in December, which is literally, she is at her peak pretty. I mean, it's just crawling with international models and it's honestly, Cape Town in December is wild. She's just showing all the leg. the time that you had the dance off with the woman in the pencil skirt, that was the December when you were there for
the sevens. Was December. There was different dance offs in October. We tried to have a Kayla, that's her Scottish dancing with the Italians on the last night, but it was actually everybody came to our hotel on the last night.
Yeah, we did have
a Kayla. It went quite well, I thought.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to take much to get Italians dancing or South Africans.
No, that's true.
Also, we noticed we went to South Africans were just so much cooler than us. they do just have rhythm. They just have. We don't, we try, but we don't have natural rhythm. Whereas everything they do, I was just they're just cooler than us. Yeah. And we're really trying. Rona will give it, but you're giving cardboard balls.
I'm giving the robot. Our Kayleys, they're a set dance routine for a reason. You can follow the steps. As soon as there's not a structure.
Yeah, we don't freestyle very well.
No. They're relatively white girl proof. But it's the problem is when you start just free free moving around. Yeah. It's when the wheels sometimes come off for for various members of this team. Now, the whole energy around you guys, I feel, has just shifted in about 3 years so massively. You have now got this sense of belonging, but like deep emotion, which we've seen Rachel Malcolm cry many times before, but the emotion has turned into something that you've almost weaponized. That energy is something that you really feed on the pitch now. Is there something that you can point to from a coaching perspective? Is there something that has shifted, that has changed? Is there anything that you can highlight that you go, that was the key thing that we turned?
Will I take this one? I think it's hard because I have been involved a long time, and I do believe it's not something that happened. It's happened overnight, albeit it might seem that way. When I first came in the squad, for a bit of history, I don't know, I was in, and this is the time when no one's professional. Half the players couldn't even make team run because they'd be working. Sometimes you couldn't make a match, so-and-so can't play this weekend because they're working. People are in and out. There was no consistency. And it was just, at that time, it's not normal. I was a kid. I was at uni. So I was obviously just always available and just always there. But
except when you were writing exams on days before games.
Yeah. You'd be working, then you'd take your holidays and things like that. And it was so normal. But now we obviously, there's a group of us that came in, and I feel like I've been a core, and now having a good core obviously has allowed it to build. Don't get me wrong, I don't think we're obviously there yet, but I do think it's been over time with the professional game, and it started, we initially got a full-time professional coach, and that was the beginning, and then it's just gradually everything's kind of trickled through, and we've just stuck together throughout that. And I honestly, from the beginning of that process, almost every single player has been there and is constantly been there. And obviously the competition within Scotland squad is getting so much more difficult, which is actually incredible, because there honestly was a time where if a front row went down, you'd be phoning a club being trying to find someone to play front row for Scotland, there was no depth there. They just didn't have it. Whereas having all that now, it's just kind of transformed in terms of how we're able to perform.
Didn't you, I re-listened your appearance on the Women Who Sport pod that Rona hosted. You said your first two appearances were on the bench. Uh-huh. Then you made 45 consecutive appearances in the starting lineup.
54 consecutive games, 52 starting. Yeah.
And of those, how many consecutive losses did you suffer?
22, I think I had in a row losses. And genuinely, so many times, people be like, why do you do it and stuff? And sometimes you're like, I actually don't know.
What is the rational answer to this?
Why am I doing this? And that was at that time when I was working full time. So I'd have been working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, taking annual leave Thursday, Friday.
We need to say what you do for a living.
I was an auditor, so accountant.
Yeah, a chartered accountant, which is, when people only do that, sometimes they don't have time for gym having a social life. You managed to have an international rugby career around that.
I honestly, now I can even dream of doing them both. But I and then we'd play on the Sunday. We'd be in, I don't know, Wales or whatever. And I'd be on the earliest flight or the latest flight to get back into work Monday morning. You go in Monday morning, you're just up making your tea and coffee with everyone and be like, hi, how's your weekend going? They're like, yeah, all right. Did you have a good weekend? I'd be like, yeah, all right. Not bad. Just no awareness. you wouldn't be like, yeah, I was just paying for my country. I was just off in the Six Nations, that's actually not because they're disrespectful or whatever, but it's where the game was. And it wasn't on TV. We would maybe get a streaming link on the internet or something. At that time, we didn't know professionals. So I was just taking my holidays essentially to go do my hobby at the time. And even when I say these words, I'm like, that's insane.
That is actually objectively crazy.
But it was just so normal then. And it's just that's when I think what we are kind of looking at now is not something that's happened overnight. It is really has taken a long time to get here.
Almost as objectively crazy as living between 2.5 and 3 hours north of Edinburgh and then joining a men's club to get more game time?
Yeah. So we essentially, like, our coaches were like, you need to be playing at a better standard because you're obviously not in Edinburgh with a lot of the girls. And I was the only one at that time up north training. Like, you need to train better standard. And I was like, could I join in with, like, a guys' team? So, like, Aberdeenshire men at the time.
Shout out Aberdeenshire.
I know. They let me in. And they were definitely like, what the hell is she doing here?
What is the woman doing?
Yeah. We'd be playing touch. And honestly, it was terrifying. Not like, it wasn't like they were horrible or they weren't, like, not passing to me. But just, like, the speed at which things are done, it's different. Like, it is different. And, yes, I would still count myself an international. And they were maybe just playing club rugby, but I was essentially a female in a male club playing males rugby. And even, like, the contact drills, like, I was able to join in and all them. Now, yeah, it was hitting bags, but I was still just trying to give it everything. And that was probably a big mental test to just be like, you want to get better. Like, you deserve to be in this environment. Like, I kind of had to swallow my pride a bit in the sense, like, genetically, I'm different. So you just kind of almost have to accept that and just...
No way.
Exactly.
I mean...
So I just accepted that and just kind of use this as a really good experience and how you can kind of get better. But it was kind of terrifying and part of the journey, I suppose.
Isn't that nuts when you listen to that, Ellis?
Seems fun. I don't know. I think we've done one training session at Edinburgh Uni against the men. And I was like, let's not do that again.
No.
Like, that was horrible. They kept, like, body checking you and stuff. I was like, no, I'm on the ground now. I'm done with this.
Yeah. But also you have a master's in, is it a master's?
Yeah.
In sports science?
Yeah, I've got an undergrad in sports science, then a master's in strength and conditioning.
In strength and conditioning. So you also know at a very physical and molecular level, like, the kind of damage that can be done. What did you study, Rona?
I did undergrad at Edinburgh University in biomedical science and went to Loughborough to do a master's in sports biomechanics.
Is that like 3D printing ligaments? What are we talking?
Yeah, that would
pretty
be.
Much. Yeah, that's what
I was just saying.
That's a brilliant description, to be fair.
Yeah, just more about, like, how the body moves. And I was doing it with an internship with British Athletics. That was really interesting, actually, because I would, like, be in meetings and stuff where, like, people would be talking about athletes and who should get funding and, like, how people are performing. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, people have spoken about me in this way. And yeah, it was really interesting actually to kind of see the other side of what a performance sport looks like. Yeah.
Wow.
We came through at a time that, like, I went to Edinburgh Uni because that would allow me to play rugby. I went to Loughborough Uni because that meant I could play in the Prem.
Yeah. But the benefit of this is the women's game now has Dr. Rachel Malcolm,
yeah,
captaining Scotland.
Yeah.
And all of these phenomenally brilliant women who will one day, when you're not playing anymore, no doubt, be taking some names and kicking some doors down and serving the game in other ways, because you've got so much to give and so much insight, as you say, because you're sitting in these meetings and you're speaking from first-person experience.
It is interesting to think now, like, this is we've only been full-time since the World Cup. And it's so interesting to think now that there's girls that are going to come through it and they're not going to have gone to uni, they're going to go straight into...
Mm.
full-time contracts, and it'll be interesting to see, like, how that influences the game and, like, how that influences your future.
Can we just talk about Dr. Rachel Malcolm quickly?
Of course. We stand
with Dr.
Rachel Malcolm.
We are obsessed.
So do you know that Women's Six Nations launch that we did with Jill Scott and Karen Carney and Dame Laura Kenny? So Rachel comes to producer Sharon us and me, and she says, so guys, I just wanted to tell you, you really don't have to have me on the show.
She's crazy.
No, that is
she's
her.
Crazy.
That is her.
That's
she's
so
like,
her.
I just don't want you to have me on the show because you feel like you need to have me
she's
on the
crazy.
Show. I've seen the rest of the panel.
Right.
You've got Katie Daly McLean. You really, like, you don't have to include me. And we were like, do you need to go? And she goes, no, I'll still be here. We were like, obviously we want you on the stage.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she has no idea how incredible she is.
No, she actually is like our little secret weapon, I think. And again, so many people have said to me in the past, like, oh, like, would you ever want to be captain? Like, I've obviously played for Scotland a lot now. And I was like, no. Like, of course, yeah, that's silly. I would obviously love to, but there's natural leaders. And in Rachel Malcolm, we trust. Like,
yeah, literally.
She is just an incredible leader. And has been a huge part of, like, everyone everyone within that squad has obviously contributed at leading at different elements of the game or helping or whatever, but the way she kind of brings it together, and when she speaks, you listen. And I've been around other captains, and there's just, it's in my head, every time she speaks, I go up and I'm like, how did you think, like, how did you know what you were saying there? Like, you just end up listening every time, and it's not just her, it doesn't ever just feel like she's speaking for the sake of speaking, and she's so conscious of that as well, that she doesn't just want to speak because she feels she has to speak. The many team talks I've had, and I think even at Loughborough as well, I'm very lucky to have her in both places. I've been at Loughborough and some of the girls are like, oh my God, that team talk. And I'm like, wait, was that good? Like, because I get it all the time. Do you know what I mean? Even, like, I've had Scotland team talks and honestly, I'm like, ready to go. No, she's got a very good mix of emotion, but also a huge amount of passion. And yeah, it's just a natural leader. And yeah, we're lucky to have her.
She's so selfless and so team first. I think she's always the first person to congratulate someone, the first person to do all that. I think I remember Corinne's first Scotland try, her mum was there for the game, and it was, I think, actually like her second cap. Or like, it was very, very, like, it was a big occasion for her, but it was one of those things where it'd be very easy to forget in the heat of a game what that was to her. And I think Rachel, during the game, straight after the try, went up to Corinne and was like, your mum saw that. That's amazing, your mum saw that. And like, the amount that that meant to her, like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, she just knows what it means, and she knows. For every single person. Are you crying? Okay, stop crying.
Emma Russell.
It's crying.
Does anyone have a tissue for Emma?
This is like also all over. This is a Rachel Malcolm effect. She speaks and we cry.
It's just like, and also when you think of Corinne and like that.
I love Corinne. She just cares.
This is ridiculous. No, this is ridiculous.
And
oh,
she knows exactly what it means to you. To everyone.
Scotland.
We love Scotland.
Jeez, guys, you sound like a cult, but I love it for you.
It is a cult.
Can we stop making up Rachel Malcolm? Like, I live with her. Like, it sometimes gets uncomfortable how I give her that much confidence and she's like, will you actually stop? And I'm like, yeah, I know, that's too far.
Now, speaking of giving people compliments, we're continuing a tradition that the men's version of our pod do, and that is called the High Flyers of the Week, brought to you by our good friends at British Airways. This week, we asked our Instagram followers to get in on the action, and they have selected the British Airways High Flyers of the Week shortlist. It is made up of Rosie Galligan, player of the match performance, physical round the park, 18 tackles, 2 line-out steals, and a try. Ellie Kildan, 2 tries against Wales. Thank you very much. She was in my fantasy team. One with that sensational finish, a threat constantly. And Maud Mir, oh, I love Maud Mir, and I love that she's making so much content, has scored a brilliant try. Incredible work rate. The video of her jumping over Hannah Bosserman.
That's very good.
That is class. That is the most Maud Mir moment, because there was a lot of fumbling and falling over there after great athletic performance. Just the full package. And based on your votes, the High Flyer of the Week is Ellie Kildan. Thanks again to our friends at British Airways. To feel inspired for your next adventure, head over to ba.com. Now, England next. Scotland, England, 2:15 p.m. Saturday, the 13th of April at the Hive Stadium in Edinburgh. Dun, dun, dun. It's tracking for a sellout. Brian has called it a sellout already.
Yeah, I think the only seats, there's actually no seats available. I think you can only get standing tickets now. Like, okay. That is mental.
Yeah. Wild. Last year, the score in Newcastle was 58-7 to England.
Yep.
last year, our score in France was 55-0. Like, I don't think we can, like, we're aware England are the number one team in the world, and what an absolutely mammoth challenge that's going to be. But like, we judge ourselves based on our performance each week, and we want to go out against England and put in a performance that we're proud of. Like, even I think against Wales, like, we got the win, but we didn't, like, we definitely reflected on, like, we didn't perform to our best. So yeah, we're definitely not, like, I'm a massively outcome based team right now, and yeah, like, we're gonna go in. I just, that definitely doesn't, like, scare us or preset anything for this
and
time.
I think, yeah, like, we've now played 2 games, and yet there've been some huge positives, but there's still things that we're like, that's not us, like, that's not what we're doing in training. So how can we fix them for the next game? And if we fix these little things and keep everything else consistent, we'd like to think hopefully that will be reflective in the score.
Now, if you are coming up to Edinburgh for this big game, the 90 Days play, it's a theatre show telling the extraordinary story of the women who organised the 1994 Women's Rugby World Cup in 90 days. This actually happened. It's not fictional. Like, people did this. There was a phenomenal story on this in the Telegraph. The headline kills me, but this is also the most relatable thing. The headline said, "The more we drank, the more we thought it was the best idea ever. The World Cup organized in 90 days." So it's at the Traverse Theatre in Edinburgh. Are you guys going to be going? It's only on Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah,
I think we're hoping to get Scott.
Are you going on the Sunday?
Yeah, there's like, I think 20 of us
there's
going.
There's quite a lot going, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And just before we wrap, Rhona, we need to talk about the small matter of the fact that there is an Olympic Games this year as well. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we've gotten this far without even going there at all, because she does run out in the GB7s colours as well.
Yes, no, I'm so lucky this season. Like, it was kind of crazy for me actually. Like, I'd never been on a rugby contract. Then the week after the World Cup, I was in a position that I was choosing between like a 7s and a 15s one, which was just like kind of crazy. But yeah, this year, super lucky to be like on a dual contract. So back in for the Six Nations, then like very much back focused on sevens for the rest of the season. And as you said, like trying to get to Paris myself, like trying to get the team in the best place possible to compete in Paris. So yeah, it's like this year's just got the potential to be like a very, very special year.
That emotion that Emma has shown us and that we have talked about also washes through into your sevens game. We did have fun rewatching that try that you scored in Hong Kong, where you scored it and then immediately cried.
Yes.
talk us through what happens.
Yeah, like I think I'm like very heart on sleeve when I play. Like I'm very passionate about what I do. And I think for me, like it would have been the October before that I was making that decision between sevens and 15s, and like the decision to leave Scotland to focus on sevens, like it wasn't one that I at all took lightly. Like we'd competed on the World Series before as Scotland, and that was always my dream, like for Scotland to be on the World Series, because GB didn't exist. So then it was kind of like getting a call being like, okay, you can play on the World Series, but not with the people you thought you'd do it with. Like actually it's like this whole new team. And it was for me, it was a really big decision, and like definitely like a bit of like kind of questioning if I was good enough to play for GB. Like my only experience with them before was like 3 months prior to the last Olympics, where I wasn't selected. And I just think that like try in Hong Kong was like, it was the first time we'd made a semi-final, and it was like a really big moment of like, I'm in the right place, like I'm good enough to be here. And it was really emotional. That's evident if you watch the video. As you said, I'm crying on the pitch.
On the pitch. Which, yeah. I mean, the game is still ongoing.
I knew it was the last play. It was an acceptable time to
it was just like
to break down. Yeah.
Well, we'll come visit you in GB camp if you'd like to open the door. I mean, we like coming in and hanging out with people and just hearing the stories.
We would absolutely love to show you around GB camp.
I'm buzzing for you girls, and for the opportunity to go play it at an Olympic Games is just so special. Any danger of the ukulele coming out?
Yes, there's always a danger.
Okay.
We live in danger of the ukulele coming out.
Hello. Yeah.
I should have brought it here.
Yes.
Yes, no, it's a lot of fun when we're in sevens to have a little jam, or in Scotland camp as well.
Yeah. Okay. So next time we see you, we would like a little ukulele performance. Unfortunately, there won't be any Rhona Lloyd ukuleles at the Cabbage Patch, but I would just like to take a small moment here to say thank you so much for everyone who on Friday morning logged on and helped us sell out our live show at the Patch. 150 tickets. Is that how many? Yeah. 150 tickets sold out in 58 minutes.
Whoa. That is mad.
So we cannot wait to see your friendly faces at the Patch before the England-Ireland game. Big thank you to the three of you, both for my lovely gifts and my scarf.
I love the scarf.
The color suits you. You should wear it more.
It's a really...
Yeah.
Love it. She's humble. Thank you so much, Rhona and Ellis and Emma.
Thank you so much.
Complete with tears.
I can't believe that happened.
Happy ones. Would it be a Scotland episode without some emotion? I don't know. We've had everything from drizzle and Brian just being so very warm. And we didn't give Brian one, but I figured he wouldn't have much use for it. We have the Good, the Scars, the Rugby Scrunchies, thanks to Bonsi.
We love
Emma Swords' business. So a scrunchie for everyone.
Thank you.
No pressure. We would like to see you wear them. Our Mo wears it when she plays.
I know. I have seen that.
I think we could wear it.
I think we could.
Yeah, I'll wear it. I needed a new scrunchie anyway. Mine fell off last week. Did you see my hair during the game? It was terrible.
Your hair?
It was terrible.
I actually thought it held.
No, it didn't. It was awful.
I was Alice surprised. You're in the front row, girl. I mean...
Yeah, so it's a lesson learned. Like, I've got high standards. Everyone else has stayed in, looked really good. Mine, a mess, I think.
Maybe the Lopo Queen has tips. Does she have tips for you?
Alice is actually our kind of camp hairdresser, so...
Are you the plait queen?
Yeah. So if her hair's fallen out, then there's...
There's not much hope.
It's because you're using up all of your superpowers on everyone else's hair, and then by the time you do your own, your arms are tired.
Early game, unfortunately. So by the time I got to do mine, I was like... In the mirror, like, quickly, but lesson learned.
79 minutes was.
Yeah, 70 minutes. It wasn't on the plan to do 79 minutes.
Your hair lasted the first game.
Exactly, yes.
The game that Ellis was supposed to play.
Exactly,
and then you came off, and then when you had to go back on, that's where it fell apart.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, maybe this is going to be the new hair lucky charm. It'll stay in next time for however long it happens.
Maybe it's the GSR scrunchie that'll be the difference. I'm here for it to be a high-performance scrunchie as well. Thank you so much for joining us, girls. It has been a blast. I can't wait to come back for next time. Already I'm excited. More shortbread and loads of Kayleys. We are the Good, the Scars and Rugby, brought to you by our friends from Vodafone. The Good, the Scars and Rugby is a Folding Pocket production produced by Shara Kilgallen.
You've been listening to The Good, The Scars and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
Without, like, elephant in the room, but, like, her derriere, like, it is... is giving.